Blog Talk Radio.
One, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. And in case you want to hear more of a newborn music, you can go to newbornband.com and listen to all the wonderful music. If you like their sound, they are going to be appearing live all over Brooklyn and Manhattan. So look them up at newbornband.com and, as they say, enjoy the music. And tonight, we have a Toastmasters online, the one-of-a-kind Toastmasters meeting, to boldly go where no Toastmasters has gone before. For those of you who have not heard of Toastmasters, and yeah, some people haven't, Toastmasters is a nonprofit organization that is dedicated mostly to public speaking
Well, not so much to public speaking, but to guiding people and helping them how to become the best and the most powerful public speakers. And tonight we're going to begin the Toastmasters meeting with a guest that is joining us, Seth Greenwald. And he's going to be our one and only guest. And we're going to do one of the little exercises that we do with Toastmasters, which is called Table Topics. And we're going to have some fun because no one has ever done that Toastmasters before. And so without any further information or explanation, which we can give you about Toastmasters, I'd like to welcome Seth into our meeting. Hello, Seth. How are you?
Good evening, Tippi. I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Well, I just want to make sure, did I get your last name correctly? Is it Greenwald?
Yes, you got it right. Greenwald.
Yay!
Yay!
Awesome. So Seth is a member of Toastmasters, and you have been a member of Toastmasters. How long have you been with Toastmasters?
Oh, I'm going on my 10th year anniversary in December. So 10 years.
Wow. Awesome. See, you're somewhat of an expert, a lot more than I am. And did I explain what Toastmasters is about correctly?
Absolutely. It's a lot about public speaking, but it's also about leadership, right? We try to strive for both sides of the equation. So, yeah, and of course, every leader has to be a good communicator, and so it's mm-hmm. a natural synergy between the two.
Exactly. So, yeah, I didn't mention that. So it's about becoming a very powerful public speaker, but it's also about leadership because without being able to be a good leader, you can speak all you want, but it really won't get you anywhere. So that's a very important part of it. And there's a lot of other side effects of Toastmasters, of learning how to speak, which I really won't explain to you because just join and find out for yourself. So we're going to do table topics, and we're going to explain what a table topics really is. Would you like to explain that? What is table topics?
Oh, sure. It's pretty simple. Where most of Toastmasters concentrates on prepared speeches, right? You have as long as you want to prepare a 5 to 7 minute speech, and then you come into the club and give that speech. In table topics, you don't know what the question's going to be. You come up on stage, and what we call the table topic master gives you a question right then and there, and you have to answer it. You have 1 to 2 minutes to answer it. You don't know what the topic is, and it's like an impromptu experience, right? Impromptu speaking. So it's fun. Yeah.
A lot of fun, and you don't really know what you're going to ask. So basically, when you're standing in front of a lot of people and somebody just throws some kind of question at you, which you cannot prepare for, it really teaches you to think on your feet, think quickly, and to be able to answer a complete answer when you really don't even know what you're going to say. And so I think that's a really important exercise. And so tonight, I have prepared a question, and Seth is going to be the one that's going to be doing the table topics, and he's going to answer it. And so before we start, before I ask you the question, because it's a little bit different and we're doing it and people can't really see, I'm going to ask you the question, and then you're going to answer the question, and then I'm going to challenge the question, maybe, the answer. Either
I'll
challenge it or agree with it or take it further, or it depends on how you answer it. So
okay.
Are you ready?
I'm excited. Yes, I am ready.
Yeah, this is fun. So, great. So the question is, criticism is really inevitable. Everybody gets criticized at one time or another. And maybe sometimes you need to learn how to take it. So the question is, how do you handle criticism?
Well, that's a very good question. And it's always been my personal Achilles heel, taking criticism, because a lot of people who are new to Toastmasters, who are new to public speaking, who are more introverted, they take criticism as a personal slide against themselves, when it doesn't really have to be taken that way. It could be taken completely objective. You don't have to take it to heart. It's something that you can use or not use, use part of it or not use part of it. It's completely up to you on what you want to take that criticism. Basically, it's feedback. It's not something to be taken personally. And I've learned working where I work and going to Toastmasters meetings that it's everyone sees the world differently. And everyone sees you differently. And there's no one right way or one wrong way. So you have the power to accept the criticism, reject the criticism, and if you accept the criticism, you grow as a person, right? You start to take on the perspective, other perspectives, and that's how you grow as a human being. You see things through other people's eyes, and that is what life is all about in my eyes. You're learning, you're growing, you're changing, you're being flexible, and you're just enjoying what is given to you. And you have to see criticism as a gift. So that's what I've been trying to do, and I think I have been getting better and better at it, and my life has been enriched because I am a better taker, acceptor of other people's feedback. All right. And that's what I have to say about that. 2.5 minutes.
Well, yeah, actually, you touched on a lot of so many important topics that you can go way off. You touched on the topic that criticism can help you grow as a person. It can help you change and become more, and you become more flexible. And you actually even took it all the way to seeing criticism as a gift, which is taking it and turning the coin all the way over to the other side. So it happened to be a very important life lesson. But I'm going to take it a little bit further with you, because criticism is, there's three kinds of criticism. There's one criticism where somebody actually, it feels like criticism, but it isn't really necessarily criticism. It's just maybe somebody telling you that you can improve yourself if you do something a little bit differently, and it feels like criticism, but really it's just maybe productive evaluation of what you're doing. But then there's also the kind of criticism of people that are just being mean, and they're just saying mean things for the heck of saying mean things. And then there's the third kind of criticism where somebody doesn't really care one way or the other, but they're really touching on things that if you look at it, like you said, as a gift, and if you look at it as maybe I can grow from this, then you can use that and grow from it. So what you're talking about is not the one where people come and just are being mean to you, or you're stupid, you're ugly. You're not talking about that. You're talking about when someone actually criticizes something that may have a valid point.
Mm-hmm. Right, because everyone has a valid point. Everyone sees it the way they see it, and it's different from the way you see it, but it's valid. So, yeah, I see it as a gift.
Yeah, so I think that's the beautiful gift that we can take away from this question is, instead of saying criticism, say thank you for the gift. I like
right,
that. I'm just thinking, I'm just imagining someone kind of saying, you know, you're a little bit too fat, you have to lose weight, and I'll be saying, well, thank you for the gift.
Thank you for the gift, and I agree, I am a little too fat. I am a little too fat, and thank you. No, it's
I can
funny.
Just see their face.
It's true, because they might have the intention of, what is their, you have to ask, what is their intention? You know, if you're dealing with a person who has an intention of harming you, then you don't need to accept the gift, or you don't need to see it as a gift. You can not deal with that person. You know, if he's intentionally trying to harm you with his criticism, then you know, screw it.
And forget him.
Forget him. Excuse me. That's what I meant. Forget him. Yeah. So it's all up to you. It's all up to you and how you take it. But a lot of people are unconscious, right? A lot of people are unconscious, and they just take the negative energy. They just accept it without even questioning it, and then it builds and builds and builds in them, and then they explode, you know, before they know it, because they're not conscious of what they're accepting into their psyche. So a lot about going to Toastmasters is becoming more self-aware of yourself, of others, of your surroundings, and becoming a partner with yourself and letting you be the stronger. You know, whatever makes you stronger is good. You know, whatever makes you weaker is not good. And you just got to remember it's your life, you know, and it's you who make the decisions on what you accept, who your friends are, who you deal with, you know, who is that who says you are the sum of the five people you most hang out with? It's so true, you know. It's so true.
Mm.
So if you why should you hang out with a jerk? You know, why should you? Right? So
I see. So what you're saying is that whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
I love that quote. Yeah, that's a good quote. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That quote helped me so much, Tippy, as I was coming out of my shell and learning how to accept criticism. It's powerful, you know. That quote is powerful.
Yeah, well, that's what you made me think of when you said that who we hang out with, because it's true. Things might hurt in life, but most of the time it's about how you take it. But you said something else that I'm kind of curious about. You said that most people are unconscious, which is true. But can you explain that? Because I don't think most people know what you mean by that.
Well, not unconscious, but more more or less self-aware. You know, everyone is conscious, or else you wouldn't be human. But are you more? How conscious are you of what you're seeing, what you're feeling, what are you conscious of the reactions that in your own body and in your own mind of what's coming into your body and into your mind? Are you conscious of the responses that other people have on you? You know, have on your thoughts, have on your feelings, have on your ideas. If you're not, you're going to have a hard time, right, dealing with negative people. But if you are more self-aware and more self-conscious, you have more tools, more power to understand how that affects you and how that affects your life. One way I become more self-aware is through meditation. Right, through meditation.
Mm.
I do an exercise called Vipassana meditation where you just concentrate and you focus on your breath. You know, it's very simple. Just focus on your breath going in and out of your nose, and focus on your thoughts, and don't interact with your thoughts. Just let them move through your mind, and just become aware of their sensations throughout your body as you're focusing on your breath. And it really has helped me tremendously to understand who I am and understand who other people are. And you know, it's more about empathy, you know, just understanding what other people are feeling, you know, just by eye contact, you know, or just by one utterance, or just by the way that their body language is. And that's a lot of what Toastmasters teaches you when you're up there, how to control your what your body is speaking, what your not what your voice is saying, but what your body is saying. And it's like your body speaks like 75% to 80%, and your voice is more like 15% to 20%. So you have to really understand what your body is saying to others as you're up on stage, and that's what Toastmasters is very good at. And that's what the evaluator, we call it, who is giving you the criticism, the positive feedback, will will help you with. They'll, after you give your speech, they'll tell you how you did in terms of a lot of different criteria, one of them being vocals, you know, another being body language, and you know, we can go on and on, but that's what Toastmasters helps someone with. Just control what they are saying, both verbally and non-verbally.
That's exactly it, and you really touched on something else. Can you hear me? Because I feel like I'm kind of fading out.
No, I can hear you very clearly.
Good. Okay. So basically, I was I had two more people that were invited to do a table topics, and I never know if they're going to call or not if I don't hear from them, and they didn't. And so I prepared another two questions, and since they didn't call in, I was wondering if you might be interested in listening to the other question and just giving it a shot, so that because interesting enough, the second question that I had is a little bit related of something that you mentioned, which was about meditating to become more aware, and it's kind of something along those lines. So I'm thinking maybe you can even take it further by answering the second question.
Oh, sure. Yes. Throw it at me. Absolutely.
Okay, so we have, since we have the time and they didn't show up, I'm going to give all my time to you.
So
the second question was, what's beyond perception? You were talking before about how people perceive certain things. What's beyond the perception? When you talk about meditation, I guess that's what you do. You go beyond the perception.
You go beyond. Yeah, meditation is all about going beyond the perception. A lot of what I do is kind of turning inward, right? Turning my consciousness inward. So I don't have any perception of the outside world because I am I'm turning inward and focusing on my breath. I'm focusing on my bodily sensations. I'm focusing letting the thoughts go. So yeah, it's a state that is not something you're most people have experienced because it's called silent meditation. Now, there's also something called meditation in action, right? You can sit in a cave and just meditate, but then you're not going to be part of the world. You have to meditate in action, and that's simply going about your business, but not engaging with the external world, or not. What's the word?
Not like so much connecting to what your senses are sensing, because your perception comes from your five senses: your eyes, your nose, your lips, your tongue, your ears. That's your perceptions. That's how you perceive things, through those
right.
five senses. So what you're saying is not necessarily reacting to what you perceive with the five senses, but kind of reacting from something else within yourself.
It's a lot about following your intuition. Right?
Following.
And it just, I've gotten very good at listening to my inner, your inner voice that tells you what you should do and what you shouldn't do, and it gives you the ideas, and it just pops up, and it's always there. But if you are not inner focused, you're going to let all that go. You know, you're going to let your inspiration and your intuition go, and it's such a big part of, I think, a big part of life. It's like your sixth sense, a lot of people say. And it's like a supercomputer inside of you. You don't have to do anything. It does it all for you as long as you listen to it. And as long as you're letting the senses work and not blocking the senses, just, you know, making sure you're it's unfiltered perception that you're letting in through your five senses, then your supercomputer intuition works very well. And that's what meditation can help you do. Not be attached. That's the word. Not be attached to your senses. Just letting them flow, right? Just letting them flow through you, into you, and not be attached, and not trying to push it away, and not trying to hold on to them. Just letting them happen, and that's an important part of what a meditator will experience. Just that free flow, cutting edge of reality type experience. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think what you're really talking about is kind of connected to what you said with the first question. When you hear something or see something, you have an unconscious reaction that you're not consciously deciding to do. Like, for example, if somebody smacks me, before I even blink, I'm going to smack them right back. I don't have to consciously make that decision. It just happens.
Right.
So it's a reaction without really controlling it, unconscious reaction. But let's say if somebody smacks me because I may have done something to hurt them, and I don't just react, I take a step back and I think about it, or I say, okay, how do I want to react to that? And I become aware, then I'm in control of my reaction, and it's coming from inside of you, from this amazing computer that you talked about, because that's the reaction that's really going to help you grow. It's going to help you feel better, and it's going to help you a better person, rather than live your life unconsciously reacting to all these things on an unconscious level, which isn't necessarily beneficial for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what you're saying. It's someone who is, you know, quote unquote unconscious. They just react, right? They just react to outside stimuli. But someone who's done a little bit of meditation has found a gap. It might be a millisecond, but it's a gap between the outside stimuli and the decision you make on how you're going to respond. Because there's a multitude of decisions, you know, multitude of courses of action to every response. And if you're going to have the same response over and over and over again, you're never going to grow. You're never going to you know, go forwards in becoming a higher level of yourself, unless you can have that gap, you know, that millisecond gap that your intuition can fills up and helps you to figure out which is the best course of action, the best decision for you. So, it, you know what I mean?
Right. So exactly. So like one form of reaction would be my type of reaction, where I would smack somebody right back. But another form of reaction could be to cry or to run. It could be another unconscious reaction. It doesn't matter what your unconscious response, stimuli response would be. If you have that 1 millisecond, which you're saying that you can get through doing meditation, then you react the way you really want to react, not the way you are conditioned to react.
Right.
Not
habitual, yeah. It's not a fight-or-flight response, right? Not a fight-or-flight response. You get over that fight-or-flight by allowing that millisecond gap to inform your decision. And it's quite powerful. It's an extremely powerful tool to help you in your life become better.
Exactly. So that's basically more or less how Table Topic works, even though we kind of took Table Topics to the next level or the next 10 levels, but basically you ask the question and you don't even know. We didn't have a clue where this conversation was going to go. I didn't even have a clue that you meditate. I didn't even know that. And so we kind of build an entire conversation around a question that we did not anticipate, or we did not plan the exactly what we're going to say, and we did not really even know ourselves what the outcome is going to be. And and it ended up being a beautiful conversation about something very profound, something very powerful. And so basically that's what I meant by presenting the Table Topics, but I really cannot close the session without really taking it to the good conclusion, to the nice conclusion, which is you talked so much about meditation. And you talked about the benefits of meditation. And you talked about you meditating, which, by the way, do you meditate every day?
Yes. Yes, I do, except for, I can say yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you meditate every day, and from what you're saying, the bottom line is that it's changing your life. Mm-hmm. And so I have to ask you, the common sense question is, there are so many forms of meditation. If you really look it up on the internet, and if you ask Rabbi Google, you will find millions of different kinds of meditation formats. So why don't you tell us about your form of meditation, what you would recommend would be the best kind of meditation to get where, you know, you're going, to improve yourself?
Yeah, well, certainly there's no one way, right? There's no one best way.
What's the best way for you?
Yeah, I tried a whole bunch of ways, and I enjoyed Zen Buddhism, right? Zen Buddhism, that was something I enjoyed reading about, and they have a silent meditation, meditation where you simply, very simple, you know, Zen and Zen Buddhism, very, very simple. Everything's simple, simple, simple. You don't want to complicate anything, so it's simply... you sit down in a comfortable place. If you can cross your legs, you cross your legs. If you can't, don't cross your legs. You can just put them on the floor. You sit upright. Your spine is upright. And you focus on your breath. You just focus on your breath, on the tip of your nose, going into your nostril and going down throughout your whole body. You know, imagine your breath going around your arms and you're down and around your legs and then coming back up and going out your nostril, and just focus on the breath, in and out. And the key thing is that, of course, there'll be thoughts, right, that will try to take you away.
Mm-hmm.
You're focusing on your breath, and there will be, and there still is for me, even though I've been doing it for years. But as soon as you realize that you're not focused, you bring it back to your breath. And the more you meditate, the quicker you bring your awareness back to your breath. And that is the key to meditating day in and day out. Just the fact that you could come back to yourself, come back to your breath, come back to the present moment, right? Because the breath is always in the present moment. So the key is to always be able to come back to the present moment, and quicker and quicker, and not get carried away by your thoughts into the past or into the future. Just stay in the present moment. That's what it's all about. That's what meditation is all about, staying in the present moment. And you do that by focusing on your breath. And I think this type of meditation is called Vipassana, V-I-P-A-S-S-A-N-A. But there's so many different types, but that's the one that I practice.
Well, I think that sounds really interesting. It sounds like the meditation is based around the concept of be still and know, basically being still and listening to your breath and not fighting your thoughts, but coming back to the moment every time you become aware that other thoughts are coming in, not necessarily destroying them or running away from them. So be still and know is the one that comes to mind when you described it. That's what I was seeing.
I agree. Yeah, be still and know and focus on the present moment. Try to stay in the present moment, right? The cutting edge. I often think about it as the cutting edge of a knife. You know, the present moment's the edge. You can fall off the past. You fall off the other side to the future. But the cutting edge is a knife. It's very hard to stay on that edge, but it's only a millisecond, right? Right? The present moment is just a millisecond, and it goes on and on and on and on. It's always there. It's always there. If you can stay on the edge. So it's interesting practice.
So you might have motivated people to try to meditate tonight. You definitely motivated people on how to handle something that is not necessarily seen as a positive criticism. So you kind of motivated people to see it as a positive instead of a negative. So I actually ended up being a motivational speaker tonight rather than a table topic person.
Good, good. That's
very
what
nice.
I try to do. Yes.
Yeah. So that definitely came through.
I can certainly speak more on it, you know. I can certainly speak more on it at our next gathering of Toastmasters. I can tell you.
Absolutely. I would love to hear more about it, and I would love to really take this further. We are going to do this again, and stay tuned. And if you want to participate, you definitely are welcome. Go to tippytalkshow.com, fill out your name and your email address, and you'll get the information. You'll know when we're doing the next episode so you can actually join us. Seth, it's been a total pleasure talking to you. It's been a lot of fun. And I learned something on top of it, which is a little cherry on top. So thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Tippy. It's my pleasure. You have a good night.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful evening. Now you can sit back, relax. If you like newborn band music, then you're going to enjoy this music because I'm going to play it. I personally love the music, so I'm going to listen to it. And once again, Seth, have a magical evening.
Thank you very much, Tippy. You too.
Now what's